Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
On this episode, we're going to go back over 140 years ago to one of the most pivotal weekends in American football history. It really shaped the game. We'll have all the details for you and the story in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And today, we are going to celebrate what I am going to call the very first weekend of American football. It happened almost 140 years ago, back in 1874. Yes, it's the very first time that a Canadian team and an American team met on a football field. And it really was very pivotal, as we're going to see in these next 2 days of talking about it. It's the Harvard-McGill game. McGill University, Harvard University playing a game of what ended up being a game of football. And let's go back and let's talk about our football history headline of the day. And we'll go to the Boston Globe on May 14th, 1874. It had an excerpt in their column called Suburbs, Cambridge. Football, two words. The McGill University students who are here to play the Harvards at football today and tomorrow were in Cambridge yesterday. They visited Jarvis Field in the afternoon, and after viewing the grounds on which the matches will be played, indulged in a short kick preparatory to their labors this afternoon. They are fine-looking and strongly built set of men, and their friends are sojourning, and they will get away with the Harvard team without trouble. This is a report on the first time a football team and their entourage were in the game's host city 24 hours prior to kickoff. It's an occurrence that's commonplace and almost mandatory in our era of Division I football today. Remember, this is the first international football game on U.S. soil. Prior to this, two schools playing each other was rare. Okay, there was a soccer match, basically, in 1869 between Princeton and Rutgers, which often gets the credit as the first American college football game. But in fact, it was much closer to a game of soccer than what we know as American football. And you were not allowed to carry the ball, and you could barely touch a ball with your hands. And most games on college campuses were intramural in nature and played between students of that same school. The American Heritage website gives us a little bit more insight into this game. In the spring of 1874, a group of athletic Harvardians grew tired of intramural competition and looked for another college to play against. Scorning the soccer-like game played to the south, they found a worthy opponent in McGill of Montreal, which also played something close to rugby. When the captains of these two teams met, however, their rules turned out to differ in several respects. The Canadian game allowed more carrying, and it used an oblong ball that was much easier to throw and catch. They decided to play two games, one on May 14th, 1874, under Harvard's rules, and one on May 15th under McGill's. Harvard, they won the game 3-0 on the first day, while the second, well, just like the fans of that era, we're going to make you wait till the date of the event, and we'll tell you more about that second day of games tomorrow on our May 15th edition. But, you know, just think about that. You had Harvard that wanted to play rugby. All the other schools, the Princetons, the Rutgers, the Yales, the Columbias, they wanted to play more of a soccer-like game. So Harvard had no one to play except other Harvardian players and teammates. So that's why they went to McGill. and they assumed that McGill was playing the same brand of rugby they did, but as soon as they sat down and got together, they found out, hey, you know, they're playing a little bit different game than us, and their ball looks a little bit different. Our ball's round. You know, it was round almost like a medicine ball or a basketball round, where McGill had a more typical, what we know as a rugby ball. You know, not quite as oblong as a football, but, you know, sort of egg-shaped like a rugby ball. And that's what they're talking about in that article. But, okay, we told you we're not going to tell you too much about the May 15th. We're going to, those games, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to save some headlines for tomorrow. But I will share with you that that weekend in Massachusetts was extremely pivotal in the creation of the game we love. It was a spark plug that gave a glimpse to the players and spectators that spring in 1874 of how special a game American football could be. Yes, a spark. One that would set off a tinderbox 6 years later when a group of men, including Walter Camp, sat down to make some major reforms to the way colleges would play this new game. Much of it was inspired by the way these young men from McGill explained a game they played to the boys from Boston. Tune in tomorrow for more details. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like the Boston Globe from 1874, I mean, think about that for a second. We just read from the Boston Globe, 1874. You need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more dating back to 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Get ready for that pencil. We're going to give you that website address again for your free 1 week. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Now let's talk about a birthday of a Hall of Famer. May 14th, 1907, Salem, Ohio. Carnegie Mellon's quarterback from 1926 through the 1928 season, Howard Harpster was born. The National Football Foundation, in their bio on this great player, shares about what a brilliant on-field tactician he was. Carnegie Tech, as it was Carnegie Mellon was called back then, had a QB in Harpster that was such a good strategist that he could pull off the unexpected in the heat of the moment. The trait brought him acclaim as one of the great Eastern quarterbacks of the late 1920s. He was one of the first to challenge enemy defenses by passing out of his own end zone, making it a successful maneuver. During a 1928 game against Notre Dame, Howard called for a quarterback sneak on a third down and 15 yards to go play, turning the surprise call into a 35-yard game. Of course, he got the first down. His game situation reactions prompted many to say he had the mind of a coach. Keep that in mind for a second. The 1928 season had a great one for Howard, as he earned All-American honors, leading Carnegie Tech to a 7-1 record with barely an interception. He was a great defender too, as proven by his three seasons at Carnegie. Tech's goal was crossed only three times, once on a fumble recovered by Notre Dame in the end zone. Howard did all of his team's kicking and punting too, and it was noted for consistently booting within the 60 to 65 yard range on punts. Wow. Howard Harpster received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1956. And after graduation in 1933, at the youthful age of 25, Harpster became Carnegie Tech's head coach. He had four seasons at the helm against a major college schedule, and his squad took home a 12-20-3 record. Now, it doesn't sound that great, but there were some great victories posted there, as though they got the W's against competition by the likes of Notre Dame, Temple, and Purdue, and they tied Pitt and Michigan State. So all was not lost in that 12-win, 20-loss, three-tie seasons, four seasons at the helm for Mr. Harpster. So, you know, we just had some great history today. May 14th, you would think, you know, it's on the opposite side of the calendar from when football season is. And, you know, it's beyond the draft and, you know, what's going on? You know, not much. Well, one of the most pivotal days in football history for all levels of football happen May 14th. And May 15th gets even bigger, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. So don't miss our football history headlines for tomorrow. Make sure you don't miss any editions, because we come each and every day bringing you football history, birthdays of Hall of Famers, and we're going to keep you informed, and you're going to know what happened on that day, however many years ago, whether it be a year or 140 some years ago, like we talked about today. So join us each and every day. PigskinDispatch.com. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider. You know, follows are great. We're also on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch, Facebook, Pigskin Dispatch. PigskinDispatch@gmail.com is our email address. And if you want to get an email in your inbox every single morning with our blog posts and our podcast, make sure you email us and tell us that that's what you want. Because we have usually about 10 different podcasts coming out every week, and usually about 10 to 12 different blog posts coming out every week. And this Sunday, May 16th, we have some great news, because we are going to bring something new to you. It is going to be called the Football Funny Pages, just like your favorite Sunday paper you used to, when you were a kid, you'd open it up. Maybe you still as an adult, you open up and you have those colorful pages of cartoons. Well, we have that in a football-oriented edition, and it's coming to you right from the Pigskin Dispatch. You'll find it here every Sunday, starting this Sunday, May 16th. Make sure you check it out, and tell us what you think about it, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.